Did you get it?
Yep.
I'm going to also close my door real quick. So, it all works. And the clap showed up on your end. You can see it on the little thing.
I don't have a waveform. I'm recording on my phone.
Dang, your phone recorder doesn't have a waveform? Mine does.
It's got like a little, one of those cool, like, mixer kinds of thing where when it's louder, the bars go up.
Skill issue then. Anyways, your skill issues aside, you want to do the intro? Or do you want me to do the first intro of the season?
Oh, I feel like I ought to, but I feel like you're better at intros generally.
I introed last season thematically. I'll let you handle it.
I don't know what to say.
And we are back, something like that.
It's been a little while, folks, but don't worry about it, because we're back now. You're listening to KHDX-FM Conway, Arkansas, the voice of Hendrix, here on The Roundabout, where the rock is progressive.
And the puns are excessive. Let's go. We're back, baby.
Let's go. Should I say that I'm your host?
You are the primary host at this point, absolutely.
That is frightening. That's alarming. Okay, I'm your host, that's Peter Graham. Truth.
And I'm the co-host, the co-pilot, the
inordinately frequent guest.
The sous chef of this wonderful artistic culinary experience metaphor thing, Griffith Samore. And Peter.
Griff?
There's something special about this season, isn't there?
There's something special about this season.
Exactly.
I feel like there was something. What could it be?
As folks out there might know, there was a whole pandemic thing that happened and is still sort of happening. It sort of shifted into a different thing than it was, as society and life tends to with concepts like this. You took a gap year, didn't you, Peter?
I did.
And we recorded all that stuff remotely. But that means you had a whole year of school to catch up on to fully get that 4-year graduation guarantee that Hendrix College has.
Right.
And with that, this is going to be that last semester, isn't it?
Yeah, this is my 8th semester as a Hendrix student and season 10 of
exactly.
The Roundabout.
Exactly. Big 1-0. Season X, if we're using Roman numerals. There's a really good X-Men comic that uses 10 as like the sort of thematic core structurally of it, which fits in with the whole X-Men theme, Roman numeral-wise.
But
we don't have time to get into that
Roman
right
numeral.
Now. If this was an X-Men podcast, it would be a very different podcast. But it isn't. This is not an X-Men podcast.
It's not even a podcast.
I mean, it's a little bit of both.
It's a little bit of a podcast,
depends on who's
it's not really a
what.
Podcast.
Yeah. This is not an X-Men radio show. This is a... Well, Peter, could you tell the folks what sort of things we do here? What do we do on the radio?
What we tend to do on the radio, more or less, is play music.
That's
more
right.
More specifically, we emphasize progressive rock and concept albums.
Mm-hmm.
If an album fits either of those categories and is something that Griff or I finds interesting, it's eligible to be on the air.
Yep, and sometimes it's things that we just find interesting and don't fit those two things because... audience, we know we've given y'all a promise of a format, but we don't know y'all, and y'all don't pay our bills, so we do what we want. I mean that as kindly as possible. And Peter, what have we decided to do this week?
Well, let me tell you what we've got cooking to get back into that metaphor we had earlier.
Oh, I like this.
Let me get a whiff. What's this aroma I hear wafting in from the kitchen? I smell tomatoes. I smell a tomato. Griff, do you smell tomatoes?
I smell tomatoes by Yes from 1978. That's the album we're playing, baby.
That's right, Tomato.
It's like a tomato tornado. That's definitely where they got the name from, and not anything else that Peter can correct me on, segueing us into talking about the background of this album.
Well, Griff, I'm about to embarrass you pretty bad.
Oh no! Did I miss something? Is there some information that I didn't know?
There might be a little bit of information that you didn't know.
What is it? Do tell me and our listeners.
Elaborating on what I'm about to tell you, within the album itself, I actually got a copy of this album for Christmas. Thank you, Lynn.
Oh, nice.
The record sleeve itself is a topographic map of Devon, England, and you can see that the second tallest hill in that entire vicinity is called Yes tour.
Totally. It was named before the band Yes, right? I'm assuming.
That's correct.
Why is it called Yes Tour? Like, where does that name even come from?
That's a little outside my wheelhouse. I couldn't
fair
say
exactly. Enough.
Does probably yes some mean old English locally? Kind of business.
Okay. Yeah. Yes probably means something in some language. I don't know. I don't
maybe
know
they pronounce it
work.
Yes.
That could be. Who knows?
Or this. Or that.
You know, these are all things that if, you know, if listeners have an idea about what it could mean, how can they contact us, Peter?
You can find us on Twitter at roundaboutkhdx or send us an email, roundaboutkhdx@gmail.com.
And folks, if you have any idea why Yes Tour in England, 619 meters above sea level, by the way, I might mention, is named that, let us know. I would genuinely love to hear that, and I will talk about it after we get that information from whoever sends it in. I will talk about it on air, openly, because it would be funny.
Without fear.
On the topic of things that scare me, Peter, heights. This is at the top of a hill. This is the second heights. I can think of. Hold up, give me a second to look this up and make sure I'm not embarrassing myself.
Not again. Already?
Yeah, I know. This is like the second map-based thing Yes has done after Topographic Oceans, right?
Yeah.
Which, I gotta wonder, whoever was in the Yes office being like, dang, sure do love them funny little loopy lines. They're real neat. Like, I respect that. It's good to find an aesthetic and stick to it in different ways.
Yeah. On the subject of that aesthetic, do you want to get into the album cover? Griff, do you want to get into the album cover?
This early? You know, I don't mind if we do. I think it's okay to, because we've already talked about
it. We can come back to
it
later if you want. We can come back to it. I think it's okay. It's no big deal.
Well, I think we've segued into it well enough now, so we might as well.
All right.
Hit me with it.
So the thing to know about Yes album covers is that the vast majority of them are designed by English artist Roger Dean. This one is one of a few exceptions. Their previous album up to this point, titled Going for the One, was also not designed by Roger Dean, but both of them were designed by the design group Hipgnosis, who are best known for designing album covers such as, just for the sake of example, Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon.
Whatever the deal with that one was. Never heard of that album before.
It's just the first thing that comes to mind. I don't know.
Yeah.
I looked at the list of the albums that they did last night, and it's honestly... If we're ever stuck for an album to do, there's a whole lot of progressive rock in there that I'd never heard of.
Ooh, you know, I feel like we can discuss that off air, but that might be an interesting thing to do.
It could be. But the thing about the cover of the Yes album, Tormato, is that it includes a figure standing in a blue, kind of rocky-looking landscape underneath a cloudy sky. Dressed in what appears to be a pretty nice, you know, set of clothes. It might be a tuxedo. Holding what I'm told are divining sticks.
Oh, nice.
And the entire illustration has been splattered with a tomato.
Just like a real tomato on the cover, which has then had another photo taken of it. I gotta say, I do really dig this cover. Just because there's a lot of mixed media stuff that I think Yes and Rush have done that is real neat. And this one particularly is just real clever. It's like a funny little... Inception is an overused term for it, but a recursive cover, I think, is a better term. I guess before we start here, Peter, any just skimming thoughts on the album overall that you got?
Overall, there's something I want to mention about the creation of this album. A couple of things, actually. This is an album marked by a few departures. We've listened previously to the Yes album Drama, which was released in 1980, 2 years after this album was released. This album, you know, that means that this album was the last with John Anderson on lead vocal and Rick Wakeman on keyboards before they quit in 1980, leading to their replacement with Trevor Horn and Jeff Downes. That didn't last super long, but you get it.
Oh, huh.
The other thing to mention about this album is that it was going to be produced by Eddie Offord, who also produced Tarkus for Emerson, Lake & Palmer, and also the Yes albums Fragile and Close to the Edge. But he didn't stick around, if I recall correctly, because he just wasn't interested in the music that they were making, and so Yes wound up producing the album themselves, and they did something a little silly in the process of doing that. John Anderson had, in the studio, created a few kind of guide tracks where he sat down with an acoustic guitar and played just the basic chords of the songs that they were doing. And so then Steve Howe, lead guitarist, and Rick Wakeman, keyboardist, wrote their instrumentation around that. But that guitar track is not on the final album. So what you have is Rick and Steve playing these kind of fancy, kind of high-pitched melodies.
Hmm.
And then Chris Squire and Alan White on bass guitar and drums playing a whole bunch of low rhythm stuff and nothing in the middle to kind of hold it together. And there's a few times on the album, I think tracks 1 and 4 get the worst of this, where it just makes the instrumentation sound kind of thin.
Tracks 1 and 4, you said?
Yes.
I do see that in those two, actually, specifically. That's Future Time / Rejoice and Release, right?
That's correct.
Okay. I have my takes on some of the early songs versus the later ones, but I think we'll get to those step by step, and I can sort of give my whole opinion overall at the end. You want to just get into that first song, then?
Sure.
The first song is titled Future Times / Rejoice. I will say, the thing I noticed about this song is the instruments feel busier than a lot of other songs on the album here. I don't know how else to describe it. It's not like there are necessarily more. They feel like more. You're the big you're the music aficionado here, so I don't. I'm not necessarily as good at the terminology side of things, but I hope that makes at least a bit of sense.
No, it totally does. I and some of the music critics that I read about are in agreement that it really feels for a lot of the album like Steve Howe and Rick Wakeman are like each vying for pole position.
I can see that. I can absolutely see that.
And that means they try and fit a whole bunch of notes into little amounts of space, and it gets busy.
Oh, yeah. And folks, we got to get busy listening to Future Time / Rejoice by Yes from Tormedo. Let's go. We'll be right back. Peter, is it okay if I post an image of the Slug Terra character with, like, referencing a drill tweet on our official account?
What's the drill tweet?
I don't know yet. I just feel like I need to pick one. I mean, the original I was going to
okay
go
with
was,
it.
The one I was going to do
did
just,
get a, I did get a notification on my phone that you've got a new desktop login somewhere.
That's me, yeah. The one I was going to pick was just feel like shit, just want him back, but I realized that might be too explicit for what we're looking for. Can't, don't want to have swears on here.
You want to come back to it later?
Sure. You want me to do it or you want to do it?
I'll bring it in. I'll bring it in.
Oh, hit me with it.
That was Future Time / Rejoice by Yes from their 1978 album Tormato. You're listening to KHDX-FM Conway, Arkansas, the voice of Hendrix. You're on the roundabout where the rock is progressive.
And the puns, well, the puns, they're excessive. I feel like when we say the puns are excessive, it's less that we make really bad puns and more like whatever bits we have, we stretch and extend
yeah.
in like the most contorted ways possible. Which I suppose is a more conceptual pun than what the normal pun where it's like a play on words. This is more of a play on the idea of words. But we'll say that they're still excessive. I think it still mostly applies.
That didn't make even a little bit of sense to me.
Well, you know what? That's art sometimes. It's for different people, and that's okay.
That is okay. On the subject of art, we're listening to Tormato by Yes.
And on the subject of art, you ever read Moby Dick by Herman Melville?
No, I have not read Moby Dick.
You should really read Moby Dick by Herman Melville. It's really good. It's way better than it should be, honestly, for like an 1800s book about whales. It's,
so I've heard.
It's really good. And big fan of that book. There's a lot of it that I like about it that I'm not going to discuss on air because my parents listen. But, Peter, once you read the book, you'll understand. But there's some advice in this next song that Ahab really should have followed also, which is
yeah.
Don't kill the whale. By Yes, from the album Tormato. Ready to play it?
Do you want to talk about it first?
I don't have much to say about this one, honestly. I gotta be real with you.
Listen, I took like some relatively detailed notes on every song for this album.
Oh, dang. Hit me with it. What you got on this one?
All right. Something fun about this song is that despite the fact that it is a progressive rock song entrenched so deeply within a progressive rock album, it is in 4-4 the entire time. It's written kind of like a march.
I respect the dedication to being normal.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a very silly keyboard sound that comes in around the halfway point. Rick Wakeman gets a solo with just a funny little tone that he figured out there on his Polymoog. And the other thing about this song is that there was some, I don't know if it was the original release of the single or some re-release of it, but the proceeds of whichever single that was went directly to Greenpeace.
That's right. I love that, actually. That's real good.
Yeah, because they want to not kill whales.
You know, I think not killing whales is generally a good motive that I respect.
I'm inclined to agree. Our opinions are our own here on the Roundabout, and not necessarily those of Hendrix College or KHDX.
That's true.
We enjoy when whales aren't killed.
It's true. I enjoy whales alive more than when they're not, in my limited experiences with both, I gotta say. You ever seen, like, a real-life whale before, Peter?
No, I haven't.
I saw one, like, ages ago. It was, like, one of them whale-watching boats you go on. I think we went out for, like, an entire hour, and we saw, like, a tail, because it was just, yeah. The whales were vibing that day. They did not want to be seen. And, you know, I respect that. I'm not judging. But I remember, I think it was with my church group, I might be wrong there, I might be misremembering, but I remember all that we mostly got was realizing which of our friends got seasick easily and which ones didn't, which was, I suppose, a fun experience in its own way, but certainly not the one we were looking for.
You wanna listen to
the
song?
Really, really roundabout way to get to this song, though. Let's play it. Don't Kill the Whale by Yes from Tornado.
Bye.
And folks, that was Don't Kill the Whale by Yes from Tormato or Tormato. Have we not made the Tormato Tormato joke yet at this point? Honestly, Peter, like, that feels like such an obvious dunk.
Well, let me... Tomatoes grow out of the ground, right?
Yes.
So if you have a tomato plant and you take a tomato off of it, then kind of, depending on your metric of measurement, no matter where it is physically, geometrically on the plant, you're picking a low-hanging fruit.
Wow. And you know what, Peter? If for some reason or another your knees, for example, might be locked at being straight up, you would have to really, really, really stretch to make that work. Folks, this is the roundabout where the rock is progressive.
And the puns are excessive.
We just listened to Don't Kill the Whale by Yes from their album Tormato or Tormato. But the next song is called Madrigal, which I find very interesting as a song name. Because, like,
I do too.
The song name is just the format of the song. It's a madrigal, which is a type of song, evidently, according to the...
I have a lot to say about this. Do you mind if I just kind of go off for a little bit?
I can tell you my take on it first, which is I like how it's very, very little is happening here. It's a voice and some different things with strings on them, and that's about it most of the time. And I dig mm-hmm. that. I think it's fun. It's definitely different from the sort of instrument soup that the last two songs felt like. But you seem to have opinions on things, Peter, and as someone with opinions on things, you should give them. Always, no matter what. That's how opinions work.
So before I get into opinions, I want to give you some facts. The thing about the word madrigal is that it refers to a certain kind of traditional evening song, and I want to say on that front that, A, there is another Yes song, I believe from the album Union, that is also called Evensong. And also, there's a Rush song that came out a year before this one that is also called Madrigal, and they're completely different, unrelated songs.
Is it the same music format, or is that just, like, a thing?
I couldn't say for sure.
Huh. Okay.
I'm not familiar enough with the traditional structure of a madrigal to say whether or not either song really, like, goes out of its way to fit that meter, but I will say about this one that I feel like it does a really great job of capturing the feel of an existing text being haphazardly set to music.
Well, you know, folks, if you have exact details on what a madrigal is, you should tell us at RoundaboutKHDX on Twitter or RoundaboutKHDX@gmail.com. Peter, you know what else I think is haphazardly set to a pre-existing thing?
What?
This show. And I think that's neat, too. Just like this song. I'm a big fan of this song.
I enjoy this song, too. Super pretty.
Some later songs get me back into a pitch I've had for an idea. Just for a tabletop thing, a podcast thing, some sort of fiction thing. But this is one of several songs that fits the format. And I'll get into more detail later about my pitch. But put that in the back of y'all's mind here. There's something in here that made my creative writing brain go buzzed in a funny little way. what are your thoughts on it beyond the facts? What are your feelings on it, Peter?
I just think it's a super pretty instrumental song. And I mean, I know it's not an instrumental song, but I think the instrumentation is very pleasant.
And you know what? I could not agree more. So, shall we get to it?
Let's do it. Here's Madrigal by Yes from Tormato.
I will be there, said my friend of a distant life, covered in greens of a golden age, set in stone. Follow me, he sounded of dreams supreme. Follow me, drifting within the glow and the afterglow of the eve. And if that firelight I could match the inner flame. Sacred ships do sail the seventh age. Cast off your garments of fear, replace them with love. Most of all, play with the game of the age. Highest of places, remain all as one with you, giving us light and the freedom of the day. Mm-hmm. dusty in a flame. Sacred ships do sail the seventh age, and I've always been here. Celestial travelers have always been here with us, set in the homes of the universe. We have yet to go, countless expansions will arrive and flow inside of us. My friend here, fantasy, dancing with the spirit of the age.
Anyways,
so, that was Madrigal. You gotta stop doing that to me. You gotta stop doing that to me.
Better go.
That
then.
Was Ma- That was Madrigal by Yes from the album.
From what album?
Let me get a clean take.
No, but what's wrong?
I was laughing.
I didn't say anything though.
Let me start over, Griff. Griff?
Okay. Yeah?
That was Madrigal by Yes from the album Tornado 1978. We are just under halfway through this album now.
Let's go, baby!
I feel like we're getting into a space where we can kind of establish, like, alright, this is the kind of album that we're listening to. You're starting to get a feel for it, and this next song is going to be probably not a surprise then. It's well within that feel. I would call it being along the lines of the first track. With, you know, the comparison I drew earlier about the kind of thin instrumentation. You get it.
It does feel like a normal Yes song. Capital N, capital Y, capital S, you know?
Yeah.
I actually wanted to ask you something on there. There's a Yes... A thing that Yes does a lot that I've been noting, and I don't know the term for it because I'm not a big... I don't do the whole making music thing. I just have opinions on it on the internet. And I was wondering, there's a sort of, like, rolling rhythm vibe to some of this. And what is that? How does that work, etc.?
I would call that a driving rhythm, and I do actually talk about that in my notes on this next song.
Oh, no way. You want to talk about that right now?
Generally, the way that you would make a driving rhythm like that is emphasizing typically quarter notes is what you would do. Either quarter notes or eighth notes. As long as it's... Let me put it this way. A solid go-to, like, driving rhythm song that comes to my mind anytime I want to think of a song that's got, like, a driving rhythm like that is Psycho Killer by Talking Heads. Because, is Chris France the drummer? Is that right?
I have literally no clue.
He might be the guitarist. I don't know No. Whoever the drummer is for Talking Heads plays quarter notes on the snare drum on the downbeat. And that's something that nobody ever does because everybody thinks it's weird, but with that song, it works so well.
In fairness, I would describe a lot of Talking Heads as, no one does this because it's weird. And I mean that as a compliment to Talking Heads.
That's totally fair. For any rhythm, it's difficult to say what exactly makes it work or what makes it not work. But generally, driving rhythms are easier to achieve in... songs that can be, that the measures can be subdivided into fours. Although there are times that musicians will take, like, normal rhythms and take out, like, 1/16th note or 1/18th note at the end of it to kind of pull you forward into that next measure before you're really ready for it and achieve a kind of, not acceleration, but that kind of driving force that way. A good example of that would be, like, The Ocean by Led Zeppelin.
Oh, huh. That's neat. And this song uses that sort of thing, too?
Not that I recall, but I do remember it having a very driving feel. I didn't stop to take a note on exactly how they achieved it.
Okay, well, folks, we're going to drive on over to Release Release by Yes, and we're going to listen to it. It's from Tornado, and it's real good. You ready?
I'm ready. Pay attention to this double-tracked drum solo that Alan White does here near the middle of the song. He's not super flashy, but it's one of the highlights of the album.
Mm-hmm. That what? No, what was it? What was it called, Peter?
I said you bring it in.
Oh, no. You wanted to talk.
That was what I said to you. No, that was what I said to you, was you bring it in.
Why, thank you. That was Release by, yes, from the album Tormato. Tormato. Let's not call the whole thing off. Let's just remove the first half and put the second half in the jukebox and listen to it. The next song is called Arriving UFO. It's real good. My notes on this are two things. One, at the very start, just hearing the little audio opening is just, little guy! And then at the end is just a shocked, frowning emoji. That is my two notes for this song. It took me on an emotional roller coaster. There was a little guy, and then there wasn't a little guy anymore, and I got sad.
I getcha.
So what are your thoughts on this song?
I'm going to talk for a little bit about this song. I just had a really fun time digging into this album and finding all these kinds of little stories. And Arriving UFO is a song with a good story. The story behind it is that John Anderson saw Close Encounters of the Third Kind twice.
Right. It's a good movie.
I haven't actually seen it myself, but I have heard that it's good.
There's a bit where a guy is like, just gets absolutely feral. Very much vibes of Tom Hardy climbing into the lobster tank in Venom, and just uses mashed potatoes and meatballs to make a giant tower in the middle of his living room. And, like, I've been there, man. I get that, you know? That's just Tuesdays.
I've not seen that scene itself, but I have seen the reference to it in Weird Al Yankovic's UHF.
I still need to watch UHF, don't I?
Yeah, you do.
I should watch that sometime.
I'm surprised and alarmed that you haven't seen it. But
I've been meaning to. You know what else I've been meaning to do? Listen to your opinion on the rest of the song. Please continue.
Something else I want to mention is that, you know, John Anderson writes basically all of the lyrics for just about every Yes album. And these lyrics are uncharacteristically literal for him. Usually his lyrics will be so couched in metaphor and wordplay and general artsiness as to be just about unintelligible. But with this song, you can tell he's talking about a literal alien visitation, which is so weird for him. I also really love some of his vocal choices. There's this one thing that he does where he'll put a really defined vibrato on. It's approaching, if I recall correctly, the chorus or the end of the chorus. There's a vibrato thing that he does that I think is so cool and fun. There's such a cool guitar sound that comes in near the halfway mark. This song is just so fun to listen to. Can we listen to it? I want to listen to it. Can we listen to this song?
Let's listen to Arriving UFO. We're arriving to the song. It's by Yes from Tormato. Let's go.
Let's go.
Spelt out a meeting never dreamed of before. I looked out in the night. Strange and startling was this voice of time to say, there's got to be a linking of everyone. Got to be a center if all God's flying by. To behold, vessels of a different impression, none that we could ever hope to have known. So look out. We'll be right back. cat has been known to be sane. You say I'm a fool, a believer, but your feet on the earth, it is green. But look out in the night. Wait, for they are right to start to shine. Cause I do hear it is the coming of outer space. Such a beauty like the lightning of outer space.
That was Arriving UFO by Yes from their 1978.
From their what?
That was Arriving UFO by Yes from their 1978 album Tormato. You're listening to KHDX-FM Conway, Arkansas, the voice of Hendrix. Here on The Roundabout, I'm your host, Peter Grant.
And I'm your other host, Griffith Seymour.
Griff.
I'm a big fan of Arriving UFO. It's just a little guy that shows up. He's here.
It's so fun.
This next song, though, is titled Circus of Heaven, and this song activated a brain rot that I had long ago, and by long ago I mean like a couple months ago, that I forgot about, which was, I really want to make a setting for some story that is essentially all of its backstory is just direct interpretations of prog rock lyrics.
Ah!
Like, what is the actual structure of the Court of the Crimson King? Tell me more about these characters. What are their backstories? And The Circus of Heaven is a song about just, a circus comes to town, here's all the weird things that are there, and all the weird things that happen. That's it. That's the entire song, except for the end, which we can talk about. I don't want to spoil the end until after the song, personally, Peter. I don't know how you feel, but...
Oh, I can do with not spoiling it.
It's a good little reveal. It's a funny little trick for the audience to find out about, you know?
I do want to say about this song musically. Actually, this and the song after it, they're a little bit more vocal-driven than a lot of the stuff that's earlier on the album, and for that reason, there's a whole lot less of what I was talking about earlier with Rick Wakeman and Steve Howe kind of vying for pole position. And I think it really does make the music stronger as a whole in this part of the album. These last three tracks are probably my three favorites on the album. I'm a Circus of Heaven enjoyer.
So valid.
There's plenty of people that aren't, but I am.
If Circus of Heaven has one fan, it's me. If Circus of Heaven has 10 fans, it's me. I'm one of them. That's such a good post. Sorry.
Unrelated.
But that meme format's a really good meme format.
It's really funny.
I have takes about this song, but all of them, basically beyond the I should make a fantasy setting based on this, are based in the last like line of the entire song. So we're gonna let y'all listen to Circus of Heaven by Yes from Tornado. And then we will learn.
Then we'll get into it.
What we think. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
The day the Circus of Heaven came into town, local folk lined the streets in a midwestern town, waiting anxiously for the parade to begin all around on the very last day. A unicorn headed the mystical way, surrounded by what seemed a thousand golden angels at play. Behind were centaurs housed by fairies holding collars of jade on the very final day. For what seemed only just another moment in time, seven solemn flying silver regal horses rode by, seven golden chariots in tow, a wonder to behold, the seven lords of the mountains of time. Was that
folks, that there at the end was not any of the normal members of Yes, but it was in fact Damian Anderson, John Anderson's son, with the line, "It was okay," referring to the Circus of Heaven, the name of the song, "but there were no clowns or lions or tigers, no bears, candy floss, toffee apples, no clowns." And when it comes to no clowns, you know what? I really wish this show had no clowns, but unfortunately it has two. The first one is me, your co-host Griffith Seymour.
And the other is me, your host Peter Grant.
And together, us two clowns make the roundabout. Where, I don't know, I was going to try to make a clown-based thing, but I'm full blank right now when it comes to puns, I'm sorry.
You're listening to the roundabout where the... I can't make a honking noise. Cut that.
I think I won't, but okay. You know what, I will. Welcome to the roundabout where the... And the... I'm sure that'll make sense in post. Anyways, this song is fun because it's like, here's all this weird stuff that the circus has, but it doesn't have, like, the basics. And, you know, you can't have a good circus without the basics.
Yeah, and I gotta have toffee apples, dude.
I think this show is like that sometimes. You know, we get a bit clown-like, but sometimes you gotta go back to the basics, like Yes or Rush. And this album's by Yes, so we got one of them.
Yeah, I'm doing a thumbs up right now. Meat without bones.
Exactly. I mean, only if you're a coward, I think, but I get it. It's more difficult to have meat without bones, certainly. Yeah. An entirely meat-based thing with no bones, on a crutch at least, would be... Well, that's just basically a worm, and we ain't worms here. We are fully built beasts and clowns, and that's okay. But I think, folks, it's time for us to move onward to the next song. Onward. I'm going to be honest, I didn't write a lot of notes on this one because I was just vibing to it the whole time. I really dug this one. It's neat.
I was in exactly the same boat. I wrote one very short and very excited paragraph.
Shades of Refugees by Vandergraph Generator. Vibe-wise, at least, but I very much dig this song.
I get that. This one is just a really well-crafted, just little punch of song, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. I'm so excited to listen to it. I don't know how it escaped my attention this long. It's great. And it's such a weird thing for Yes to do, because it's very straightforwardly just like a normal love song.
Mm-hmm. But it's like with all the Yes crispness and talent, etc. Which is always fun to see.
It's such a good song. Can we listen to it? I'm too excited.
Let's just get to it then. Let's roll.
Here's Onward by Yes from Tornado.
Love I feel for you.
Folks, that was the simple but elegant and high-quality Onward by Yes from the album Tornado, album that came out back in 1978, and is the one we've been listening to today here on The Roundabout.
Mm-hmm.
If you liked that song or any of the previous ones, or if you disliked them too, either or really, let us know over at roundaboutkhdx on Twitter or roundaboutkhdx@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from the folks, and if you give us some good takes or bad ones, but like in a nice way, we'll talk about them on air.
Say your funny words to us. We're not afraid.
I mean, speak for yourself. I'm afraid constantly, but that's more of a general thing. You know what I'm not afraid of, though? What? This next song, because it's real good. It's called On the Silent Wings of Freedom, and we get to this last song, and I have a take on this whole album. Peter, are you familiar with the Pokemon Regigigas?
I might have heard of it.
Regigigas is a Pokemon introduced in Generation 4, which was Diamond and Pearl, and then later on Platinum. It is a legendary, the creator of the three other Pokemon, the legendary Titans. I guess there's more than three now. We got Registeel, Regice, Regirock, then Regieleki, and Regidrago, all of which are like themed after different elemental types in Pokemon. Regigigas is the leader of them. It's a big old guy, like a big old square with arms and legs and just some glowing orbs and marks and some grass all over. Really hard to describe. But anyways, it has an ability called Slow Start. It's the only Pokemon with this ability. Regigigas' stats are very high for context. All of his numbers do big damage and all that jazz, right? But Slow Start says, since Regigigas is having a slow start, attack and speed stats are halved during the first 5 turns of battle. And if you swap them in, again, essentially, back at the slow start, which unfortunately makes the character nearly unplayable in competitive play, where switching out Pokemon is like one of the core gameplay mechanics. But this album is a real Regigigas of an album, because the first bit of it is real weak, but then it really comes in to its own, I think. My only note on this final song, On the Silent Wings of Freedom, is just the classic, because this is a very Yes song in a really good way.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan of it, personally.
There's a guitar tone that Steve Howe uses throughout this song that just absolutely wrecks me. It's so cool. It sounds like, I think one of the most underrated moments of the album Fragile is the transition from Long Distance Runaround into The Fish, and I think that guitar tone is very similar to that part of Fragile. It's just so fun.
Oh, absolutely. I can absolutely see that, 100%. You want to let the listeners experience it, then?
Let's let him hear it.
Let's roll.
Here's On the Silent Wings of Freedom by Yes from Tornado. Thank you.
darkest night so painful. Dear hunger for love, midst the torture of being one.
Folks, we are coming back in a bit quieter. We're not, I don't know, yelling or something. We're just talking normally. But, you know, I was going to do a thing here about Silent, because it's on the wings of Silent. On
the Silent Wings of Freedom.
On the Silent Wings of Freedom.
I could see where you were going.
But it didn't
work. I felt your intention.
But it didn't work, though. So, I don't know. Hey, Peter.
Hmm?
It's the roundabout where the rock is progressive and the puns are excessive. That's what they're saying nowadays. That's what people are saying, you know?
So I've heard.
It's the word on the streets. You got any other takes on this album overall?
I understand why it's as overlooked as it is. I understand why people aren't as fond of it as they are of other Yes albums.
Yeah.
I think there's plenty of stuff on here that makes this album worth listening to at least once, for sure. Like
Hello?
Circus of Heaven, Arriving UFO, Onward, all fantastic songs. On the Silent Wings of Freedom, I dare say, belongs in the Yes canon, along with things like Close to the Edge and Roundabout.
Oh, you are cutting out something awful for me. Oof.
But I do understand where people are coming from about the weak production.
I'm sure you sound normal on your end, and I'll probably paste this all together later.
It brings down the sound of the album as a whole on a lot of the songs. I can understand that.
I have like a billion things open right now. That might be the issue.
How about you, Griff?
Oh, I lost Wi-Fi. Well, that's no fun. I lost my internet connection. Can you hear me?
Yeah, did you hear what I said?
I heard none of what you just said.
Okay, well, I gave my thoughts on the album and basically said, I enjoy it. I think On the Silent Wings of Freedom probably belongs in the Yes canon along songs like Close to the Edge and Roundabout, but I understand why people don't like this album with its weak production and everything. And then I said, how about you, Griff?
Well, I also agree that I get why people don't necessarily like this, especially like as much. Especially if you like tune in at the start, I get why you might be like, eh, not for me, and just sort of stop. But like, if you give it a chance, it'll get interesting and do some pretty neat stuff. Any other specific thoughts on this album overall, Peter?
There is a funny story about the back of the album.
Oh, do tell.
On the back of the album, you have the five members of Yes all wearing Letterman jackets that have their first names emblazoned on the back. But Chris Squire lost his, and so he wore one that had the name Jim on it. Who was like their manager or a tour guy or an engineer or something. And they just wrote his name over it on the album art. That being said, We've reached the end of this week's roundabout, the first of season 10.
It's true.
That's exciting.
The first, the beginning of the end in some ways, but you know, perhaps in the way, in another way, it is the end of the beginning, as they say.
True indeed. They do say that. I've heard it.
Folks, we'll get back to y'all next week with an album named, well, you'll have to find out then. We'll leave it a surprise for you for now, because we don't know. But till then, I suppose, our intro and our outro are what they are, because cards on the table, we haven't figured those two out yet. We will, though. Don't worry. I might put in a pickup audio later that, like, has it, or maybe I just won't, and we'll figure out something. I might do that. I might not. We'll have to find out, folks. Hey, y'all. Editing Booth Griff here. Just want to give a quick update. As you can tell, outro, intro, not fully completed yet. Literally working on it right now. Peter is currently, like, as this episode is airing and, you know, sort of in the days surrounding, is, in fact, rehearsing and eventually presenting a play with the Hendrix Theater folks called Airness. I'd recommend anyone who's in town go check it out. It looks fantastic from everything I've heard, and unfortunately I won't be able to check it out myself, so go, you know, in my place. Next week, essentially, because of that, is going to be skipped. But beyond that, week after that, should be back to you with another episode. There's an album by a well-known singer who isn't well-known for prog rock, but certainly made a very specific concept album that Peter and I have been looking at and considering, and I'll let y'all guess what that is. Don't spoil too much of it. Anyways, back to the show. We will see y'all later, and we're excited to play some more music for y'all next week on the radio.
Absolutely. Bye, everybody.
Yeah, so like I said, don't really have an outro song fully done yet, so I guess I'll just hum or sing a little made-up tune, and hopefully Peter will fade out the audio quickly enough to save me the indignity of having too much of this go out on air for Lord knows how many people to hear. Here it goes, I guess. It was an obvious way. Peter's the one here who makes music, and I'm the one who does audio editing. I really hope this still isn't on air. Oh, dear Lord, that'd be embarrassing.